It's an honor to be with you this morning, preaching from this pulpit. Thank you to Dr. Splon for giving me this honor. We're always so pleased when he asks us to preach, and so it is. I will serve the word, and the word will serve us all. Today actually marks the beginning of a new series that Dr. Splon is kicking off for us. It's called Living the Life, and when I asked him kind of how I should launch this series for you all to kind of frame these next couple of weeks, he said that Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly, but that the abundant life of a disciple often looks like and taking up one's cross to follow Jesus. And so the abundant life is not necessarily the easy life. And so hopefully this sermon this morning challenges you in a way towards being more like Christ and living the life that God calls all believers to partake in here on this earth. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 9 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, please open up to Matthew chapter 9 of you. We're going to start in verse 35 and work our way into chapter 10 just a little bit. The title of my sermon this morning is Christ's Compassion. Christ's Compassion. So here we are, Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. All the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful. Harvest, therefore, to send out workers into chapter 10. Jesus then called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon and the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any of the towns of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out, freely give. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Picture with me for a moment, if you will, a fantastical kingdom. This kingdom with a castle and a king and a queen and a prince. One day the prince decides that he's going to go out to see how the villagers live. Not 10 steps outside of the castle walls, the prince is overcome and overwhelmed by the smell coming from the village, by the sense of death and disease coming from the villager. Had he exited the castle and goes back inside to the safety of the palace. In our passage today, Jesus were around him with compassion. Crowds that he described as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. But instead of turning around and retreating to safer places, to more comfortable places, Jesus actually pushes in towards those people. And it's my belief that we as believers have a calling to be like Christ, moving toward by love. You see, we are compassionate because we have been shown compassion. And it's not hard to see why compassion is needed in the world. It doesn't take long to, you know, news or read a newspaper or, you know, interact with someone driving down 280 to see that, like, why we should love and live. The world is broken because of sin. In the beginning, perfect order, and he chose to set humanity in charge of it all. And not soon after that did humanity decide themselves that they wanted to follow their own way. And this led to a brokenness. Things would no longer be as God intended for them to be. And I think that humanity's decision kind of led to two distinct realms of brokenness, if you will. The first realm of brokenness that we can is a brokenness in relationships. Not just between ourselves in interpersonal relationship that we have with God. God created us to live in perfect relationship with him. But when humanity chose to do their own thing and to trust in themselves, it created this chasm between humanity and God that we cannot repair on our own. Interpersonal relationships between humanity are also broken. We live for ourselves. We harm others. We are selfish. We lie. We cheat. We steal. We try to get ahead. The other realm I think that was broken by sin is the realm of world order. In Scripture, things are ordered in such a way. I mean, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth in a specific order. And part of the world order was that it was supposed to encourage the flourishing of life. But because of sin and brokenness, we live in a world that is marked by disorder. Chapter 3, to see all of the curses that come from the results of humanity's sin. But one of the things that happened is that now we have to actually work the ground to produce food. It's not how God meant for things to be. We are going to experience pain. That's not what God wanted. And eventually, our bodies will give way to death. Things are not as they were meant to be. And that's the world that Jesus was born into. Jesus, into the brokenness and pain and misery of his creation. But unlike our prince from earlier, Jesus did not run away back into the castle. He put people that he saw in pain. He meets them in their messiness. Jesus, and when the Gospels talk about Jesus and his compassion, it's usually accompanied by some kind of action. His love is moving him to action. It's not just a feeling that Jesus has. Jesus is actually seeing people and entering into their suffering and doing something about it. What does compassion look like in action? And what can you and I learn from the Gospels about how to love in such a way that we emulate and reflect Christ's love to others? The first thing I think we can learn about Jesus' compassion is that it starts with humility. If I had to guess, what truly wants me to all the time is thinking too highly of myself. I harm's way. I want to be comfortable. I like my life. I want to maintain the status quo. And the thing about Jesus, though, is that he loved people so much that he was willing to set his status, the God of the universe, the creator of all things, became servant to all. And we see this all throughout the Bible, examples of Jesus serving other people. He serves those closest to him, right? The disciples, he gets down on his hands and knees and he washes their feet. We see Jesus serving outside, the Zacchaeuses of the world, the woman at the well, the children, like we talked about at VBS, of the village. This is what makes Jesus' compassion so compelling. He didn't think highly of himself, but rather he humbled himself and became a servant to all. One of our songs in VBS this week talked about how Jesus holds everything together, and yet he still sees me and he cares about me. Jesus' compassion also moved him towards other people. Let me read back from our passage. This is Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 again. It says, Jesus went through synagogues, the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Jesus actually went to where people were. He met them wherever they were at. He wasn't like a king you might picture sitting in his grand throne room waiting on the villagers. Jesus was on the roads. Jesus was in the villages. Jesus went into the homes of people who were hurting. Our passage today says that he went to all the villages. 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching and healing people. And make no mistake, Jesus was on a mission to bring healing to brokenness, a mission to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And that mission must have brought Jesus a lot of joy, but I think if we're being honest, it sounds exhausting. I just spent 5 days with fourth and fifth graders and had to sleep like 12 hours yesterday. I can't imagine walking to a village and preaching a sermon and then healing every single sick and sore person. Back a couple of years ago, the student ministry actually got a chance to go to the Dominican Republic. And part of our task while we were there was doing concrete work. Each raw kind of material, you have like dirt and you have gravel and you have some other things, and you throw it all into the concrete mixer and it mixes it up to go. Well, part of our job, we weren't actually making the concrete. We had the honor of raw materials from where the trucks had dumped it at the entrance of the campus to the backside of the campus. Okay, and so I actually have a couple of photos. You can see that's one of three piles that we were in charge of side of the campus. And you'd think, yeah, Joel, you took like 15 guys, right? No, there were four of us, all right? There were four people trying to get all of this stuff to the other side of the campus. And you'd fill your wheelbarrow up and you'd walk it to the other side and you'd dump it and you'd feel pretty good about yourself and you'd turn around and those three piles would be staring you. You'd be moving gravel for weeks, all right? It was exhausting. And when you think about Jesus and his mission, you have to think at some point in his humanity, he had to have looked up and thought, my God, the suffering. How can I, one person, do something to help all of these people? And so for me, I think I'm amazed because Jesus doesn't cower. Instead, he pushes into all of those people. He's not overwhelmed by any of it, but he looks at them with compassion. And we see this all throughout the Bible, examples of Jesus' compassion on display. In the account of the man who was a leper, we see Jesus moving with compassion towards him and breaking all sorts of cultural taboos, reaching out and touching and healing that leper. In Matthew chapter 15, day of preaching, actually it's a couple of days of preaching, and he calls the disciples to himself, and the Bible says that he said to them, I have compassion for these people. They've been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Jesus then acts, and he blesses a couple of loaves and fishes and creates a meal for everyone. John chapter 8, a woman is caught in adultery and drugged before Jesus, and instead of condemning her and accusing her, he defends her dignity and exposes the hypocrisy of the people who accused her. And then he invites her to start brand new with grace and truth. That's just Jesus moved towards people with compassion. But they illustrate Jesus's compassion, hopefully, I hope, in a way that causes us to want to emulate, live our lives as a reflection of Jesus' compassion, how we might see those around us and move towards them. We are to live this life because Jesus showed compassion to each of us. He has loved us in a way that only he can. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. There's a lot of things we can't do for ourselves. I talked about it just a little bit ago, the chasm that was created by our sin. We could not cross that chasm on our own. And the cross stands as a tangible compassion for each and every person. And so for you and I, we move with compassion because in our messiness, in our brokenness, Christ moved towards us with eyes of compassion. Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And through his death, he extends to us the grace and the compassion to all who would believe. And even now, he moves towards you and he moves towards me. And what's more, life with Christ does not just end the day we believe and confess in Jesus. God then calls us into the mission of Jesus and uses us to be the physical hands and feet of Christ in the world today. Look back at Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Into the harvest field. And no sooner had that prayer been prayed than it was answered immediately in chapter 10. Jesus calls his disciples to himself, and he equips them to duplicate his very ministry in the world. Jesus met people on the roads and in the towns, and the disciples would also go to meet people on the roads and in the towns. Jesus had proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, that the kingdom was near. And the exact same, as you go proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus had healed people. He had reached into their physical diseases and their state of being, and he had set them right. And that was also to be the ministry of the disciples. You and I come into the story, because you and I get the pleasure of carrying on the message and the mission of the apostles, who were carrying on the message and the mission of Christ. We preach the same gospel. We seek to reach into people's physical lives and to meet them. So that means we're supposed to move towards those people, those on the outside, those whose lives are messy, those who others talk about. We're called to have more than pity for people. Pity is a feeling that you get. Pity sees someone in distress and disorder and feels bad for them. Compassion is different. Compassion urges us to act. Compassion pushes us towards the pain and the suffering. Just like Jesus and the disciples were sent, I are supposed to have compassion and to meet them where they are at as well. In our compassion, we're also supposed to let go of our power and to humble ourselves and be like a servant. The temptation, of course, when doing this, when trying to be humble, is letting our pride get in the way. I mean, like, again, myself. And so it can be helpful for all of us when we go to serve, for all of us to question our motivations behind why it is that we're serving. Why am I showing up to serve day in the fall? Why am I here for VBS all week? Why am I serving on the stream team, playing in the band, running sound? The list goes on and on in the church. Not to talk about all of the philanthropy you can do outside of these walls. Why are we doing it? Paul wrote to the Philippians, seemingly encouraging them to ask questions of their own motivations for service and love. And in verse 1, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one nation, or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. The truth is, all of us at some point are probably going to act. Our motivations will be set in a place of or vain conceit. And I think that it's important for all of us that when we check ourselves and first of all, to try to do some realigning, but second of all, to give yourself grace, because we live in a broken world, in a broken order, and you have to remember that Jesus sees you, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus forgives you, others, because Christ was first compassionate to us. A guy named Stephen Levine wrote this. He said, when your fear touches someone else's pain, it becomes pity. When your love touches someone else's pain, don't you just feel harassed and helpless sometimes? Blown about by the winds of the world, come to Jesus. As believers, we are called to move towards other people in pain at our lowest towards us. Just as God has seen you and moved towards you, so also we should open our eyes to see others and move towards them. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for your love. Father, we are amazed by you. God, help us to not think too highly of our salmon arm we serve. Father, help us to serve, period. God, in your grace, help us to love others as you have shown love to us. It's in your mighty Son's name we pray. Amen.